Let's pray together. Holy One, open our hearts, our minds, and our very lives to you and to each other today. Give us a glimpse of the richness of being known. Amen. Thank goodness for commentaries and theologians, for the people who enjoy diving into the original meanings and original translations of biblical text. I know for me, left to my own devices, I'd fall far short of grasping the depth and variety of meaning in the text if there weren't others more wise to lean on. Case in point, I learned this week while researching Psalm 23 that shepherds in the Near East would use the term to set the table when referring to preparing the fields for grazing for the sheep. What this meant was that the shepherd would go out ahead of the sheep and get rid of all the poisonous weeds and thorns, and would clear away the enemies like snakes and scorpions' nests. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. God allows us to be safe and nourished amidst the trials and the tribulations of daily life. God's protection spills out of Psalm 23. A table is set for us. Goodness and mercy will pursue us through our entire lives. We have access to the water of life. God is with us through the dangerous times as well as the safe. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want indeed. And thank goodness we have a good shepherd in Jesus who goes ahead of us, who went ahead of us, and who is always ahead of us, calling to us, come and see. My hope is that in exploring both texts today, we come to understand that we are not alone and have never been alone in our lives. We are known by God, the shepherd, and Jesus, the good shepherd. And we are called to work at deeply knowing ourselves and each other so that we can begin to get a sense of the overwhelming feeling of truly being known by the holy. We learn in the John reading that Jesus is the good shepherd. This passage asks us to twist time a little bit. Here we are in the Easter season, post-resurrection, and yet we're given a text that is part of the beginning of the end for Jesus' public ministry. The leaders of the day are trying to figure out how to get rid of him. You wouldn't think this kind of text fits here so soon after Easter. But if we listen carefully, we hear the resurrection language in this passage. I lay down my life in order to take it up again. Jesus says it 5 times in 7 verses. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, verse 11. Verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, I lay down my life in order to take it up again. Verse 18, I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Do you think Jesus is trying to tell us something? Maybe that we can trust him? Trust that he knows God, that he knows us, that we are known by God, that we are sought out, cared for, and nourished through God's endless love and attention. Jesus comes across here as someone who has our best interests at heart and wants the best for us, someone who will set the table for us. The whole of chapter 10 in the book of John has Jesus talking about being the good shepherd. Before this passage, we hear Jesus talking of being the gate of the sheepfold. And what comes after this reading is conflict between Jesus and the powers that be, who want to figure out how they can stone him and make him disappear. The context in which Jesus offers these words is tense. And yet he's offering such comfort. I will seek out the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. All are welcome in the fold. We learn through these passages that we have a good shepherd who goes ahead of us and sets the table and gives his life in order to love us into the fold. All we have to do is trust our shepherd's voice and follow. Sounds easy, but is it? What all this made me reflect on this week is the notion of knowing and being known. We live in a world that gives us mixed messages about knowing and being known. We have all these familiar faces in the celebrity world on Instagram with reality shows seeming to want to be known. They expose us to their home life, their family interactions, their product likes and dislikes, their emotional struggles, their marriages. And yet, what do they actually expose us to? We only know what they want us to know. We only see what they have created for us to see. We don't see who they really are. We don't see what they don't want us to see. They are not really known. And are we so different? We live in a world today where anonymity is desired. Think about the street you live on. How many of your neighbors do you know? How many back fences do you lean over to chat? How many times when you walk down the street is someone sitting on their front porch greeting you as you walk by? And going a bit deeper, how many of us would be comfortable knowing or sharing with people who live in our community or with whom we work what's truly happening for us? The death of a loved one, an illness, an anxiety about a next step, a period of depression. We don't want anyone to know these vulnerable parts of our lives, nor do we really want to have to deal with knowing any of this from someone else's life. We don't have enough time for ourselves, let alone making enough time for someone else, right? Our lives are so busy, there isn't room to hold the suffering or weight of someone else's life. And think of how we construct our homes. We have big screen TVs so we can sit at home and watch movies and not have to go out. We have an exercise bike or weights or a yoga mat at home so we don't have to go to a class with others at a certain time. We don't have to go out to eat. We don't have to go to the library to check out a book because we can buy it on Amazon. We can buy our clothes online so we don't have to interact with anyone at the store. We really have created our lives in this modern time so that we can be anonymous. No one has to know us, and we don't have to really know anyone. To push that further, we can be anonymous to ourselves. There is so much busyness to occupy our headspace that we can successfully avoid diving into our heart space. We can truly avoid being known to ourselves. And if we are not known to ourselves, then we can't grasp the depth with which we are known by God. But the shepherd in both passages calls us to an intimate relationship. I know my own and my own know me. And that's everything. The Christ knows everything about us, even what we're trying to hide from others, even what we're trying to hide from ourselves. Jesus lays his life open for us to know him. There are no secrets. He lives as an open book. All he wants is to be as authentic and transparent as possible so that what we see when we look at him is God's abiding love for all of us, for all creation. We can know as much as we allow ourselves to see. One of the commentators suggested brainstorming. What makes Jesus the Good Shepherd? All we hear over and over in this passage is Jesus laying down his life for us. Well, what does that mean? Why does it make Jesus the Good Shepherd? As I thought about this question, I thought of things like faithfulness, compassion, being attentive, prayerful, committed. And I also thought about Jesus' desire to know and be known. This is what I feel we are called to today, to let ourselves be known by our own selves and by each other. Forget for a minute about what we keep from others. Just think of how much we do to keep ourselves from knowing ourselves. We don't want to admit to ourselves that we are weak in certain areas, that we get anxious about certain things, that we're shy, or that we feel unworthy or undeserving. We don't want to acknowledge when we've hurt someone, that we are in the wrong, or that our character is flawed. All of these things make us feel badly about ourselves, like we've failed in some way at being human. And yet, this is precisely what being human is. It's not until we accept these parts of ourselves that we can truly display our full selves. And it's not until we can put our full selves out there that we can be known by someone else. And it's not until we can be known by someone else that we can truly know others. This is the countercultural message of the gospel today. Revere vulnerability and welcome neediness and imperfection. Choose to be known and to know. It is in unearthing ourselves that we come to know ourselves through the eyes of the Christ and in God's image. It's in being vulnerable with each other and with the holy that we learn to adopt all parts of ourselves and let all of our bits and pieces be seen, held, and nourished by others. In taking this step, we then learn to accept and love others and all of their bits and pieces too. I know my own, and my own know me. When we can say to ourselves and to each other, I see you, I know you, I accept you, then we are truly in the fold. Goodness and mercy will pursue us. We are not in the dark alone. The table is set for our livelihood. This John passage is indeed a resurrection text, even if it doesn't fall in the right chronological spot of the story. And what it teaches us is that Easter isn't just a one-time celebration. It is a way of life. It is a way of life that promises there is something more than what we see, what we deem important, what we buy. It is a way of life and a way of love that, pursued within the fold of God's unending care, will grow within and without us, stripping away all the worldly dangers that keep us from truly knowing ourselves, each other, and God. Friends, the Good Shepherd has set the table for us, has gone ahead of us to prepare the way. There is nothing to fear. God is with us. And our job is to trust and to follow. Follow into the rich depth of knowing and of being known. Amen.